This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Tuesday, the 17th of August. My name is Audrey Raj and with me is...
Frida Liu.
How are you doing today, Frida?
We have been busy.
We have been busy on the show today. And we are still discussing leadership.
Right. And the question that we have for you guys to give us some input, what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? The usual, let us know via Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 01 878-9889.
We are discussing this, of course, following Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's resignation as Prime Minister yesterday after conceding that he no longer possessed the majority needed to remain in the position.
Right. So Istana Negara confirmed he will serve as the caretaker prime minister until a successor is appointed. The leaders of Malaysia's main political parties should be on their way for an audience with the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong this afternoon, believed to be for discussions on the next prime minister. And if this feels like deja vu, that's because the same happened last year.
Yes, somewhere late February. Now, where do we go from here? What's going to happen next? Now, there was a piece in the New Straits Times that quoted some experts that offered two alternatives for the king to resolve this crisis. The Yang Di-Pertuan Agong could either choose a new prime minister who can prove his majority in the Dewan Rakyat, or he could dissolve parliament to pave way for a general election. But a statement by Istana Negara yesterday clearly said that this isn't likely due to the pandemic.
Now, for the first option, the king could ask Muhyiddin to advise him to call for a Dewan Rakyat session. According to Professor Dr. Nick Ahmad Akamal Nick Mahmud, he said, "We are looking at a situation where the government no longer exists, but the king is still a member of the executive. So theoretically, the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong is in charge of the government. It is up to Tan Sri Muhyiddin to advise the Yang Di-Pertuan Agong on when to call for a parliament sitting, since it's unclear if the September session is still on." Now, for the second option, the monarch could ask Muhyiddin to advise him to declare a state of emergency and get an advisory council to temporarily run the country. And according to lawyer Mohammad Hanif Katri Abdullah, members of the council should be appointed by the king and that they should not be affiliated with any political party during and after the council was in effect. Meanwhile, the parliament should convene so the MPs could debate proposed ideas and question the council's decision. Two strict conditions must be imposed for the members of the council, which are they cannot be members of any parties and they must not join any political parties or offer themselves for any government position after the council is disbanded to ensure their sincerity.
Right. So, you know, some of the permutations that could happen there. But for now, I think the question on everyone's mind is, who's going to be our next prime minister? Who is going to be PM9? So we're asking you on the show today, what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? And, you know, we thought we'd get some experts to talk to us about, you know, just take a look back at some of the leaders that we've had. You know, what are the criteria? What are the prerequisites to become head of state in this nation? But in the meantime, get in touch with us and tell us, what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? What do you think? Send us your thoughts. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we'll have Adib Zalkapli, director at Bauer Group Asia, on the line with us to talk to us about what Malaysians generally look for in a prime minister. All that and more coming up after Suede with Obsessions. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are asking you,
what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? So yes, let us know. Twitter, Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We've got some interesting comments here. I'll read some from WhatsApp here. From 7803, the choice of a new PM ideally should be from the party coalition that's the most realistic and sound plans to turn around the present health and economic crisis. Yes, one thought. Let me look at the other. And he says that someone here from 9976, Malaysia needs a leader with no criminal or pending criminal record. We need to reform our judiciary and many more. And, you know, this is an interesting comment from 5380. For once, Malaysia needs leaders who accept the buck stops with them, not blaming others or previous administration.
Accountability. Right. Now, of course, it is the question on everyone's mind here in Malaysia. You know, who is going to be our next prime minister? And we have some news just coming out of, it was just tweeted by the BFM News team, and it says House Speaker Azhar Harun issued a notice to all members of parliament requesting each and every MP to send their declaration to nominate only one name as the ninth prime minister. And MPs are required to send this to Istana Negara latest by 4 p.m. on August 18th. That's tomorrow.
Be interesting.
So, yes, it's going to be a very interesting end of the week, I figure.
Right.
Right. So on the show today, we are talking about the kind of leader that Malaysia needs right now to help with economic recovery, to help with this health crisis. And we have on the line with us Adib Zalkapli, director at Bauer Group Asia. They are a government affairs and public policy consulting firm that specializes in the Asia Pacific. Adib, thank you so much for staying on the line. Now, what do Malaysians generally look for in a prime minister? Now, just a couple of days ago, Professor James Chin from the University of Tasmania joked that, and I'm not sure if he was actually joking, but he said that there's a prerequisite of the three M's being male, Malay, and Muslim. But I mean, obviously, there's definitely a lot more to this than that, right? So what are the prerequisites Malaysians usually look for?
Yes, you're right. I think it's more complicated than that. You know, being male, Malay, and Muslim doesn't automatically qualify you to be the prime minister. I think the prerequisite is, I think, to keep Malaysians happy. I mean, it sounds cliche, but Malaysians are generally pragmatic. So you need someone charismatic, convincing. Who can solve their problems. Just look at our current prime minister, right? I mean, outgoing prime minister Muhyiddin. I mean, when he took over, what he did was he ended leadership uncertainty in March 2020. You know, it was somewhat popular because I think there's a segment of society that was just tired of talks of transition at that time. And then it was followed by how he managed COVID in mid-2020, you know, when the infection, the new cases went to zero, you know, people went back to their daily lives. So he was kind of acceptable at that time, you know, people were happy with him. So at the end of the day, you know, Malaysians just want a PM who can show that Malaysians that they are part of a winning team.
Right. Adib, how important is the party they're affiliated with, though?
It's very important. Malaysians largely vote based on party affiliation, and they vote for recognizable brands, you know, popular brands. So the old brands like BN, the PKR, the Rocket, DAP, PAS, you know, all these brands are recognizable by the voters. And these parties have the infrastructure to help candidates to campaign, you know, to provide machinery during election. So, yeah, so it is very important.
You know, some say we elect our leaders based on their personalities, and personality-driven politics can be quite risky, as we've seen in other countries. So how should we be evaluating our leaders for this post?
Well, we can't totally escape personality-driven politics. You know, politics is actually, it's a popularity contest, right, between candidates. You know, people choose their leaders based on, I don't know, based on very unknown criteria, vague criteria that is basically personality driven. You know, so someone who's smart but not likable by the electorates may not be elected, you know, compared to someone who says things electorates want to hear, you know, who project the right personality will more likely to win.
You know, Malaysians have also long gravitated towards older candidates. Is this down to experience or is this a culture thing? And do you see Malaysia with a younger, rich PM in the near future?
It's not so straightforward. It's not just about age. I think it has to do a lot with the political structure here. You know, it takes a lot of time to climb up party hierarchy, especially the more established parties like UMNO, PAS, you know, it takes time. So you're likely to be a lot older when holding senior positions in the government. Whether I see PM Kennedy getting younger, I mean, there's a possibility. I mean, we've seen younger ministers in recent years, but unfortunately, they don't last long. I mean, the previous administration didn't last long. So it's up to the political parties, I guess, to change the hierarchy, to change their recruitment style, to get more younger leaders in senior positions.
Right. And what do you think of some of the younger leaders, some of our younger ministers like, you know, Khairi Jamaluddin and Syed Saddiq? What do they bring to the fold?
Some of them have done well, you know, exceeded expectation. Khairi Jamaluddin, for example, did well in leading our vaccination program. It's important. I guess he brought his training or education into the government and executed his tasks really well, and you know, people are largely happy with his leadership of the vaccination program. Having said that, I don't think age should be a criteria. You know, like I mean, for some people they may require a bit more work experience before they can perform in the government. You know, being a politician means dealing with very experienced civil servants. You know, who have navigated the maze in the bureaucratic maze for decades. So yeah, so you do need some kind of experience to be a minister.
Right. Now, Adib, we recently had some young leaders on World Youth Day on BFM, and they suggested that Malaysian youth are more willing to vote beyond racial lines when it comes to choosing their leaders. Do you see us having a non-Malay prime minister in the next decade or so?
I'm not that optimistic. I think we've seen experience from almost 2 years under Pakatan Harapan, when we saw, I think, the emergence of communal tensions, you know, to put it mildly, started by the then opposition, you know, to undermine the government. And even some in the government at that time also responded by taking racial lines. And I think a large part of it also has to do with Malaysian electorates who largely expect race-based politics or leadership or policy decision based along racial lines, you know. Mm-hmm. With the exception of maybe a handful of parliamentary seats, political parties also select candidates based on racial breakdown of a constituency. So it's a long way to go before we can seriously think about having a non-Malay PM. It has to start at the grassroots, you know, at the candidate selection process in the parliament, party leadership selection process in the individual political parties, before we can think about credibly presenting a non-Malay PM candidate.
Right. Adib, I think you know where we're going with this. We've covered age, we've covered race. Now, what's next, right? We've also heard studies on how female-led countries like, you know, New Zealand, Germany, Finland, Denmark, Norway, even Taiwan, they have fared better during COVID-19. So are we ready for a female prime minister?
I don't see gender as a big issue compared to race when it comes to appointing a prime minister.
Right.
I mean, we've seen women in senior political and government positions, like you said, DPM. We also had numerous, I think, a number of secretary generals, leading ministries. So when a capable woman is up there in the political hierarchy or in the government hierarchy to be appointed prime minister, to be appointed prime minister, I don't think it's an issue. Mm. I think the bigger problem for a female politician here is to climb the political hierarchy within the party. Because first she has to be accepted by the party grassroots. But I think once a woman is in a considerably senior position, it becomes less challenging to be the prime minister. You know, as you know, I mean, the PM is not directly, not popularly elected. Right? PM is chosen by the political elite.
Yes.
And I don't see the elite class here has any problem with choosing a female prime minister.
Right. And how important is integrity? You know, Tan Sri Muhyiddin specifically said in his national address yesterday that he refused to cooperate with the kleptocrats. Does being perceived to be corrupt completely kill your chances of bagging the top job?
I think this is a very, sadly, it's a very divisive issue in Malaysia. You know, the answer is yes and no. You know, political patronage is big in Malaysia. Supporters, party officials expect some form of patronage from their leaders in government. And this, you know, lead to various corrupt practices. But on the other hand, we have Malaysian voters who are becoming, I think, increasingly more sophisticated in rejecting political patronage. So I think that this tension will remain for the time being between who those voters who are for and against political patronage. So I think this is, other than race, this is also another issue that divides our electorates.
Okay, Adib, what do you think about the idea of talent outside politics and parliament to government, new faces with real world experience? Would something like that appeal to the rakyat at the moment?
Probably. I think it's been a practice for prime minister over the last, I think, at least 20 years to appoint, you know, to bring in technocrats into the government, you know, through the upper house. But I think a lot of them can't really survive party politics. So I think they are already part, the party matters, you know, no matter how experienced a politician is, he or she would need a party machinery, would need support from the party activists to campaign during elections, you know, and the machinery support, campaign support can only be provided by political parties. No real world working experience can replace well-functioning party machinery.
Right. And not being a prime minister comes with great responsibility, especially when leading the country during an unprecedented health crisis. So what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? And if you could name someone that fits the bill.
Well, I think practically right now, Malaysia just needs a leader acceptable to the key political players. So the new PM is not so distracted by power struggle, by politics, you know. So the new PM can focus on what matters. You know, as I said earlier, Prime Minister Muhyiddin looked like he was winning when COVID cases were low, when he ended the political uncertainty, but then things went downhill when he lost the support of one of the major political parties in the coalition.
Right.
So I guess at that moment, at this stage, we only need a prime minister that is not distracted by party politics, by competition between political parties.
Right. So is there anyone out there at this moment that comes to you that is pretty much that candidate that is not distracted by politics?
Well, looking at the numbers, I don't see anyone, unfortunately. I think we all know that no one in parliament holds the majority support of the house. So I guess the only way out is a general election.
Right. Thank you for that, Adib. That was Adib Zulkifli, director at Bauer Group Asia. On the show today, we are asking you, what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? 018-789-8899 is the number to reach us on WhatsApp. You can also chime in on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. When we come back, we will have Farida Hamid on the line with us. She's a former journalist and communication strategist and an expert on communication for leaders. So we'll get her thoughts on that. But in the meantime, here's Pat Benatar with Hit Me With Your Best Shot. You're listening to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are asking you,
what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? We love to hear your thoughts. Twitter and Instagram at BFM Radio, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. I think we'll go through those later.
Just a few minutes. Yeah. But right now, we have on the line with us Farida Hamid, former journalist and communications strategist, who is now an international speaker and coach on communication for leaders. Farida, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Hey guys, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you too. So Farida, before we jump into anything, maybe you can give us three things that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin and Perikatan Nasional did well, and three things that could be improved, you know, from a leadership and communication perspective.
So three things is a bit of a difficult one for me to figure out right now. What I do want to talk about is that, you know, Khairi, I think for me at least, has come out of this looking really good. I think he was very hands-on. He was front and center. He was talking to the media. He was at the vaccination centers.
Right.
And he was also very active on social media with all his updates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my experience, you know, going for my vaccination, that of my family and friends, I think overall everybody was saying that it was very well organized.
Right.
You know, people were in and out quite quickly. And so I think we have to give credit where credit is due. And overall, I think he, for me at least, he scored high on how the whole thing has been rolled out. I also think that Tan Sri Muhyiddin appointing KJ was the right move, even though, you know, this was a public health issue and he was in charge of technology and innovation. But I think we all know that the obvious choice, quote unquote, would have made a bigger mess of all that happened. So I think we should all thank our lucky stars that KJ was in charge.
Right.
What could have been done better? I think hands down for me, the communication and how that was rolled out has really been problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very poor quality. I think we've only, you know, we've been in a health pandemic, but we also have had a pandemic of poor communication. You know, the conflicting SOPs, the lack of clarity, the lack of consistency, and confusion is disastrous, you know, in a crisis.
Mm.
And what about all those double standards that were in plain sight on social media, you know? That looked really bad. It just reinforced this tone deafness and the lack of empathy by those who were in positions of power and privilege towards the public. And so I think all those things look really bad. And finally, I just want to make this point also, and I've been talking about this quite a bit on my social media. You know, the statistics that we, you know, we are told every day, the number of people who are infected and the number of people. I've had a problem with that almost from the beginning, because I think this is information that is very one-sided. There's no context to the data.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly we see KL and Selangor at the top of the list, and that's to be expected because we are the most populous state.
Right.
And we are doing mass testing, but the average layperson doesn't understand that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they look at the numbers and they think, you know, it's all hell has broken loose. And I think that is a communication issue with the Ministry of Health.
Right.
I've also been told by my friends in the media, and I've heard this from more than one source, that, you know, the press conference that Tan Sri Hisham holds, they're very one-sided. You know, he shared the information, but there's little to no engagement with the media. And media is not allowed to ask the difficult question to get some context, to have some clarity about what those numbers actually mean. And I think that's problematic because when people are confused and they're unclear, the fear kicks in.
Right. And we make up our own stories, right, Farida?
Exactly, yes.
So what kind of qualities or values do we need in the head of state now and in Malaysia specifically in these times?
I think, you know, in Malaysia, trust is something that is really needed. It's the number one value for me.
Yeah.
I think you can have all the bells and whistles and the titles of being called a leader, but you're not really if people don't trust you, right?
Right.
I mean, the PN government, you know, came to power with a huge trust deficit. And, you know, the coalition that was cobbled together, I think if you ask the average person, you know, it's a coalition that was based on self-interest rather than public interest.
Right.
And, you know, to have trust, you have to be credible. That means your actions and your words have to be aligned. You really have to know what you're talking about. And I think we can all agree that that is something the PN government has struggled with because there's lack of alignment between what they say and what they do. But I think looking at it from the public's perspective also, I think sadly, our standards are so low that we recycle people who are incompetent, sexist, racist, and brutish in character. You know, we have experts, we have the best brains, we have public health experts, we have business and economic experts, we have education experts, but why were they not given a seat at the table when the plans were being drawn up? You know, I have a question. Why are, you know, why are politicians who, in my opinion, could not run a profitable nasi lemak store making decisions about how business operations are going to roll out during the pandemic?
Right.
You know, so we have the wrong people in place. And the irony is that, but I think only lately, the public health experts have been brought in. But I think business and economic experts have not been brought in, with leaders of commerce from business organizations. They have not been consulted.
The line's really quite bad.
Yeah.
Farida?
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes, we can hear you now.
A little bit better. Okay, my apologies. So the second value I want to mention is that of courage. And you know, this is the courage to do the difficult thing, to do the unpopular thing in order to move the country forward. This is a conversation very few people want to have.
Right.
Politicians in particular, because they want to stay in power. But this is the conversation the country needs, because we have to look beyond the pandemic, and we can learn from so many lessons from the pandemic that we didn't have the best brains at the table. That decisions were being made arbitrarily about the economy, about education. So I think this is something that we're going to have to want to talk about, and I'm hoping that the politicians, hopefully in the new cabinet, and the MPs will want to talk a little bit more about.
Right. And I know what you mean. It's to do the courage to do the right
the
thing.
The right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Farida, why does Malaysia continue to gravitate towards the older male candidates? You know, while other countries go younger. You know, we've also seen how female leadership has been linked to better COVID-19 management. So what needs to change here?
Yeah, you know, the last press conference that we saw Muhyiddin at, I was struck by all the men, older men in grey suits that were standing behind him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that is a snapshot of the problem that we have at hand. There's no diversity. And we all know, and I'm not just talking about gender diversity, I'm talking about diversity of ideas as well. And so, you know, the reason why we keep having this older male candidate is because I think the society as a whole, we also need to change, because we think that somehow the young people are very idealistic and they're untested. And for me, it's never been about age or gender. It's always been about character or values.
Right.
The problem we have now is that the party system is embedded. But you know what? I believe that GE14, we're going to see voters will be increasingly younger and more urban. And I believe, this what has happened with COVID, really, you'll see people voting. They'll still be in parties, but you'll see people voting based on someone's character rather than just along party lines. Because that's the conversation I'm hearing to all the people I speak to.
Right. I really hope that's the case too. Now, speaking of younger, many foreign leaders in recent years have been very PR savvy. They're great orators. They take to social media well, things like that. So how important are skills like this moving forward?
Yeah, I think being press and social media savvy is going to be critical for any political leader moving forward. I think what we are seeing with the older politicians is that they really do not have a grasp of it.
Right.
They treat it like it's mainstream media. And they can't handle the pushback or the blowback when they say something stupid or they behave in a way that, you know, makes us all very angry. But I think it was interesting, just a couple of days ago, we saw that in action with DAP MPs Tony Pua and Dr. Ong. When they suffered a backlash on Twitter about that PM's last minute overture should be considered. Now, this is all fine. If you're going to be a politician, this is what's going to happen. You have to be able to take it just as much as you dish it out. And I'm really happy because I'm glad that the public is speaking out. And I think any politician who does not learn or understand or grasp social media it's not going to last very long in the future. Yeah,
you can't remove the comments section.
You can't do that. Yes, you can choose to get off Twitter, but I don't think that's a good idea either.
Right. Now, Farida, before we let you go, moving forward and keeping the pandemic in the foreground when responding to this question, right? What does Malaysia need in its next prime minister?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all know that the pandemic is going to evolve into becoming endemic rather than a pandemic. Mm. When I was doing a bit of research this morning, reports say that it took more than a year for the pandemic to reach its 100th millionth case, okay, and a little more than 6 months to double that. We also know the virus will mutate, and how fast it mutates and how fast it will transmit, you know, we don't know the answers to that. Mm. So what do we need in the next PM? I think I come back to those two things, trust and courage.
Right.
Mm. That we have to have someone who can get a cabinet together, a cabinet of integrity. Hopefully we won't see the old same faces. Mm. You know, to have a new circus in town with new clowns, you know. So I think the new PM's biggest role is really going to is about soothing the soul of a nation that feels battered, who's fed up, who's tired, who's angry of all this infighting and all this power-hungry attitude, and that this person will look at the bigger picture and appoint the right cabinet and bring to the table all the other parties, like all these chambers of commerce and businesses, bring them to the table, let them advise how best to move forward, because everybody wants to reopen.
Right.
Yeah. So that we can all have some normalcy until GE15 is called. And I think that is going to be the real test of how we're going to move forward.
Right.
Farida, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
And thank you for having me.
Of course, you can get hold of Farida Hamid on LinkedIn and Instagram. It's Farida, F-A-R-I-D-A-H, and Hamid, H-A-M-E-E-D.
Thanks, Farida.
Thank you.
Right, that was, Farida Hamid. Interesting points there.
Right.
Yes, I like the part where she said that we need someone to kind of soothe the soul of the nation. Right.
And it's trust and courage. And, you know, like when someone comes in right now to do the right thing, right? And to bring in the right people for the role, and maybe there'll be noise, right? But if you continue to do the right thing, I mean, I'm just thinking of Nelson Mandela, right? One of the world's, you know, in our lifetime anyway, because Gandhi passed away, but in our lifetime, how his party would tell, you know, because it's vengeance, right? Mm. From all the years or whatever.
But to put it aside, focus on the nation.
And the right thing, right? And, you know, it was unpopular, right? Because they were the masses.
Yeah.
But he did the right thing.
Right. Exactly. We are asking you on the show today, what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? You have about 10 minutes plus to get in touch with us and tell us what you think. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, at BFM Radio on Twitter and on Instagram. When we come back, we read all your messages, if we can. We'll give you some news updates on what's happening as well. All that and more coming up after Kiss with Detroit Rock City. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Backing female ministers. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
And we're back. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about leadership.
Right. And what kind of leader does Malaysia need right now? We're going to go through your comments because they've been coming fast and furious after this. So we'll really try to get to as many as possible. From 0546, criteria PM, compassionate, no personal, criminal and bribery record, collective and collaborative approach, equality objective in all aspects, proactive in all aspects, friendly, approachable, to and by rakyat. Here from Maggie Bess, in no order of preference, honest, sincere, no, doesn't have hidden agenda and is transparent, proactive, visionary, humble, most important, someone remembers he or she is serving the nation and rakyat and not serving himself, herself or the political party. I think we got that. We need, from Lok Kok Yen, we need a leader who's not a racist for a start. Stephen Ho, attitude is more important than knowledge, past experience. So KJ was not trained for CDC, but the vaccination rolled quite well, and look at cough. Someone else. Okay. 2148, we need a leader who's capable of forming a unity government, one who isn't afraid to appoint the right person to the right portfolio, and one who isn't bound by party loyalty. He went on an interesting comment about Abraham Lincoln. I'm hoping for a leader who'll do what Abraham Lincoln did when he appointed the head of the opposition as the VP. We might have to go back in history for that, for the right things. We want a leader from 0054. We want a leader who is not racist and fair to all races. Amiruslan, leader, one who is without a feudalistic mindset. And Amar Singh, we need a merit-based PM, unfortunately not from the current ruling. A race-blind, focused, clean, integrity and intelligent should not take the Taliban road.
Right. Okay. Over on Instagram, we have Jujuja, who says, an unwavering one, a wise one, and most importantly, to lead with an honest heart. We've got Crank Yodlin, who says, one without pending criminal cases or prior criminal charges, please. Aini Khalid says, a woman leader. What's the harm in trying? Can U-turn? Anyways. Hikaria says, someone who's results-driven. Ash Muhammad says, actually, we need a leader, not a father figure. Right. Interesting. Then we have a whole bunch of people who are just, you know, shouting out the usual suspect, the names of the usual suspects. We have some calling out for younger, more dynamic leaders, someone who empathizes with the plight of the average person, someone that the rakyat votes for and not through... someone that's voted in, basically.
Yeah.
PDX says, right now, stability and the people first, someone who puts stability and the people first. Then also, your Yoteshri also says, someone who puts the welfare of the rakyat as utmost priority. M. Go says, one who has empathy and truly cares for the people, someone who's smart, wise, but humble too. And we'll just end with this one here from Anne, who says, someone who has a clear vision and can influence and command the masses. We have a whole bunch on Instagram. Thank you so much for sending in your messages. But we've got to
some
get to the
on
ones
Twitter.
On Twitter. Yeah.
We'll try to get as many as possible. Here from Christine, say it would be fantastic. Malaysia could have a leader who is not cut from the same cloth. It's clear that fundamentally the system's broken and overhaul is much needed for the long-term success of everyone in this country. MN Ibrahim says, below 50 and would sign anti-party hopping law and can speak in Bahasa, Malaysian, English extremely well and surprise people with a fluency in Mandarin, a big plus, and will buy durian with his or her own money.
Okay.
Crucial. here is Perlis Mims, the one who could at least reply to questions in Parliament and from the media for a start. We'll see how it goes from there. Bar's really low.
We have one here from Shamil Raza, who says, anyone who doesn't have current pending court cases, anyone with a jail record, anyone who seems too eager to take up the job, because let's face it, those who seem too eager are always up to no good. Karaoke TV says,
we need a female minister, Wan Aziza.
Right.
And Maxine, we need someone who puts the country and rakyat first above their own self-interest. And I think that's why people go into politics. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Mm. We have more messages from people who are just saying competent, not corrupt, not too old. There's even one here that's suggesting Dr. Zul.
Who's saying, what was that you saying? Oh, yeah, Dr. Zul, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Zul. So thank you so much for your messages. I'm sorry that we couldn't get to all of them. We'll be continuing to bring you the news and analysis from what happened yesterday following the resignation of Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. You can tune into the news updates also on Live and Learn Today, as well as on Evening Edition later today. But for now, if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website. That's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. For now, taking us into the 1 p.m. news bulletin is The Darkness with I Believe in a Thing Called Love. After that, of course, is the Breakfast Grill replay this morning. Yeah. Wong Xiaoning spoke to Jahabaz Sadiq from the Malaysian Insight, as well as Dr. Bridget Welsh. So stay tuned for that. But for now, on behalf of Frida Liu and myself, Audrey Raj, hope you have a pleasant Tuesday afternoon. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.